Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Podcast time once again, the Growing in Grace podcast with Mike and Joel. I'm Mike. He's Joel. Glad you're with us.
Get that, Mr.
Joel. I got a question for you. Back when our kids were little, they used to have on the Price is Right. And at the end of the show, the host would always say, hey, remember to have your pets spayed or neutered.
Right.
And I always thought it was strange that nobody ever brought it up, but the guy's name was Barker.
Barker.
One of those things that just kind of hits you funny all of a sudden, and things, then you think,
Was God involved
in this somehow?
Yeah, it was his calling in life. That's why he got that name.
Well, you do wonder how some people got their names. It's obvious with him.
Well, yeah, it's like Smith, you know, comes from, you know, people were blacksmiths, and, yep. You know, people got their names a lot of times from what they did. And maybe that's how Bob got his name, Barker.
Right? Possible. Who knows?
Yeah. That's something that people should really think about for a long time. If you get nothing else out of this rest of this podcast, think about that.
And some may not. So
and may not. True.
At least you walk away with something.
Yeah. Hey, you know, a few weeks ago on the podcast, I was talking about how at work, so when I badge in at work, there's this screen and you touch a thing on the screen, like you're going to sign in, and then you wave your badge, and there's this, like maybe this 5x3 inch screen or something like that. And when you wave your badge, then it says this in big, it's a big green screen, then it says accepted. And so I always know every day I get a good reminder that I'm accepted. But something happened this week, earlier this week on Tuesday, and actually I was filling in on a different position. And so I started earlier in the day, and I thought maybe this had to do with it, but I badged in and it was a big red screen and it said rejected. And I was sad. I was like, I'm always accepted here at work. But so anyway, it turned out it was our local hospital is part of a huge nationwide network. I think we're in the top 3 or 4 in the nation size-wise, but our local hospital. Well, the big company is having all the local ones kind of, as time goes on, and this is a process that's taking years, but having everybody have the same standards throughout. And so they changed my job title. They didn't change my job duties or anything like that, but the title was changing. So I was supposed to get a new badge. Well, I hadn't gotten the new badge yet, so that's why I was rejected. But all of that got me to thinking about, because when I mentioned that on the podcast, somebody on YouTube made a comment that said, accepted, you know, it's like just a wonderful thing, you know, to be accepted. And so Paul used that word in Ephesians, and I really like what Paul had said as he started out his letter to the Ephesians. He said that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So why are we accepted in Jesus? Why are we accepted in with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? It's because of the good pleasure of God's will. It's according to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which we have been accepted in the beloved. So if I was to, let's just say I was in a group of some grace friends, and I were to be talking about this, and then I would say, but you know what? I think, actually, I read somewhere in the Bible, it says, but in every nation, whoever fears him, this person said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." So if I were to say that, and I would say that's a New Testament teaching. And I can imagine that people would kind of, what? No, you just said that Paul said that we're accepted because of God's grace. And right here, though, okay, so that's, it does actually say that in the New Testament. This is something we're going to be talking about today. Because you know who said this? It was the Apostle Peter. This was in Acts 10. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him, whoever fears God, and works righteousness is accepted by him.'" Now, this is when Peter had gone to the house of Cornelius, and there were a lot of people there, and he was talking to them. So, Mr. Kapler, I want to know what you think about that, and if that spurs any thoughts in you.
Well, surely it does. What did you read out of in Ephesians again?
And don't call me Shirley. That was Ephesians 1:6.
All right. I'm going there. I wasn't there, but I am now. Let me start with this. "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world," Ephesians 1:4, "that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved." Some people will start out reading that and say, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame or blameless. And a lot of people, based on how they're programmed religiously, they're going to assume right off the bat that he has called us, he has chosen us to live holy.
That way, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to be without blame, to be blameless in what we do.
Right.
Can I see a show of hands on that one?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. My hands up. That's what I heard. That's what I was taught.
Yeah. And where does that leave you? You know what we do? We go on to the next verse and then the next one and put that one as far behind us as we can. if we're thinking that's what he was really saying. Of course, what he was talking about here was a gifting, something that was given to us by grace as children who receive an inheritance. And so first I wanted to mention that because sometimes, again, it just depends on how you're programmed and how you read things. He wasn't talking about our redemption being based upon what we do. And so then when you go over to something like Acts 10, let's just give a little background here to get us to this point where Peter said what he said in Acts 10:35, where he said, "In every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." Well, what's the implication there? Whoever doesn't fear him and whoever doesn't work righteousness outwardly, works, deeds, actions, anybody who's not doing that, the implication is that you're rejected by him, using your illustration of the card at work. And I don't know how long I went for many years, perhaps maybe thinking I was accepted by him, but then sometimes feeling like I was being rejected in my own mind. And before I give a little bit more on what led up to this in Acts 10, let's not forget Titus 3:5. Compare this to what Peter just said in Acts 10. "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." Mm-hmm. That's just one verse. There's a context there, but you get the point. So where is Peter at when he made this comment? He previously, a few days before, had perhaps been in meditation. It was getting close to lunchtime. Maybe he was hungry. God brings a vision to him and says, "Here, look at all this stuff. Eat this stuff." And Peter said, "No, I wouldn't eat this. This is unclean. I would never do this." And God said, "Hey, don't call unclean what I'm calling clean." And so Peter was pondering what that was about when some people showed up at the door and said, hey, there's this Gentile guy named Cornelius and his family, and they were told to call for you, and you're supposed to go there. This is the Mike Kapler version here to keep it short without having to read everything. But so they went there. Peter and his circumcised Jewish traveling companions went to this place where Cornelius and his family were. And then it dawned on Peter along the way that because Gentiles, non-Jewish people who did not have the law, who were considered as outsiders and unclean, they weren't even, as Jews, allowed to associate with them or to eat with them, to step into their house according to the law. So a few questions here, Joel. And this is probably, based on most historical timelines, at least 5 years after the cross.
Right.
Where Gentiles were not being communicated, possibly as many as 10, most likely somewhere in between.
Yeah.
But somewhere in that range, after the cross, Gentiles were not having the gospel openly preached to them.
Yeah.
Now, why would that be? And Joel, why would Peter say, I won't eat that stuff? Because he thought he was still under the Mosaic law. And he even brought it up to Cornelius. He said, you know, until God kind of hit me alongside the head here with this vision, it would have been unlawful for me to be here associating with you. But he has shown me that in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. and then the story goes on. The other thing I'll point out before you jump back in is Peter begins to share with them about how they had witnessed the risen Jesus and walked and talked with him for several years, and that this thing had been revealed to them, this risen Jesus, to them as witnesses. Now, we talk about being a witness today. That's not the same thing as what Peter was talking about here. These guys were actual witnesses of what took place. But the Holy Spirit fell on these Gentiles. And guess what? Peter and his circumcised traveling companions were in shock and awe. They were surprised by it.
Right.
And they were astonished, I think one translation says, that the gift of the Holy Spirit was being poured out on non-Jewish people. They heard them speaking with tongues and glorifying God. And then the rest is history. One more thing, Joel. We've done a whole series on this, but right after that, the apostles, Acts chapter 11, the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision, apostles and brethren, contended with him, saying, hey, it was accusatory. You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them. Explain yourself, which Peter did, told the whole story. So everybody is growing. I know sometimes we begin to almost get into Bible worship and almost hold some of these Bible characters up as if they're not just human, but some sort of supernatural entity of some sort, you know, almost godlike in that way. And I think we need to be careful of that. These were human beings who were also, as Peter himself quoted in one of his letters, they were growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there were a lot of things that they didn't understand or know. And I'm convinced, we talked about this briefly before the show, I'm convinced, Joel, that God isn't all shook up with our ignorance, of which we have much. There's so little that we know. And so I don't think God gets shook up with our ignorance. Even in these early years after the cross, many of these Jews who walked and talked with Jesus still didn't quite understand everything there was to know about being redeemed from the law and the curse that came with it.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, going along with your, the timeline of events in Acts, and we've said it before too, it's pretty easy to just read Acts. Well, it's easy for some. I'm not much of a reader, so it's harder. I mean, I can read, but it's I have a short attention span. But when you read starting at the beginning of Acts up to this point in Acts 10 when Peter is preaching, well, where he receives the vision of the sheets and where he's preaching to Cornelius and his household, Cornelius the Gentile, there's really very little, if any, mention of the Gentiles and very little, if any, preaching to the Gentiles of the gospel. It's all Jews. And again, this is what they understood. This is the things that they thought. And so Acts 9 would have been approximately 4 years or so, 4 or 5 years after the cross. And it would have been, you know, a few years before this happening with Peter and the vision. And Paul doesn't say, Paul says, but I make in Galatians 1:11, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. We don't know exactly when Paul received that revelation, but we do know that it was Acts 9 when we find out about Saul, the Jewish zealot who was against the church, essentially became Paul, became known as Paul, the person who would go on to preach the gospel and be for the church, of course. He would be all for the church and preaching the gospel of grace. Some of the timeline we don't know, but we can see that there was a lot of time here in which these early Jewish believers did not believe or did not understand that the gospel was also supposed to be for Gentiles. And so you can see, like you say, things like this happening in Acts 10, where Peter would be like, what? I've never eaten anything unclean. Again, 5 to 10 years after the resurrection of Jesus. I mean, so this is years after, and he still is thinking, I'm a Jewish person. Now I have faith in Christ, but it's really those who perform works of righteousness who are accepted by God. Yes, we have this faith in Jesus. That's great. But he still thought that it was up to people to perform righteously. That's what he said in Acts 10. Those are the ones who are accepted by God. So, all that to say, we have a time period, like you were saying, Cap, these people were humans just like us. They didn't fully understand everything right away. I think probably even Paul, when he did receive that revelation of the gospel directly from Jesus, I bet you it took some time for him to understand it and to grow in grace.
Yeah, he didn't know everything either.
Right. And you can't expect anybody to just all of a sudden know everything. I mean, there's this phrase today, people say, downloads. I got a download from God. And you think that maybe they received this download and then they just suddenly, instantly understood anything. But that's just a false notion. It's just silly. And like you said, the Holy Spirit, at least in my life, and I think in so many people's lives, doesn't work in everything just happens instantaneously, and all this, it's great and wonderful when we receive a really cool revelation and things go, wow, I never saw that before. But everybody knows that that doesn't mean that you suddenly know everything. And Paul, John, Peter, James, these were all human beings just like us. And they went through their own transitions and their own growing in grace. And we have to take that into account when we read these narratives in what we know as the New Testament scriptures. And so when we hear somebody like a Jewish church leader in the Bible saying something like, be a doer of the word, referring to the law, or be a doer of the work, referring to the law of Moses, we have to keep in mind all of this and know that that was the old way. The new way, the better way, is to believe in Jesus. So that's where our conversation will lead us next week, being a doer versus believing in Jesus.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.